Well, hello and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff. Today is number 61 of Sean Hammer. Let's see, for Holiday Spirit, I give it a sweet-ass King Diamond song, and I'm giving away two Sean Hammer Christmas gifts. And we'll get to that later, and how you can win a Sean Hammer Christmas gift. And not only that, this will be the last recording of 2011. Next time you hear me, it will be the year of the end of the world. And I'll start off with a pretty cool contest. Or wait, not really a contest. Contest is going to go through until the next time you hear me. But it's going to win a Malifaux crew. I already got a Malifaux crew picked out, box. You want to win it? I'll tell you how at the end of the show. Well, well, well. Here we are, the holiday season. And I'm bringing you Hamlin. Congratulations. Let's see, what have I been doing lately? My weeks in hobby have really been minuscule. I played in the Hawk pre-release tournament. Did not do well, but had fun time. Got a couple Hawked Out heroes. So, and if anyone's got some Hawked Out heroes that they want to send my way, that'd be cool. Just contact me. let's see. I'm going to do some product reviews today. I'm going to be going over Betafoam's Malifaux bag. I got for the holiday season. Well, I got it a while ago, but I'm going to finally do the go ahead and do a review on it. It's the Malifaux bag from Betafoam. I got it in the burgundy color, and we'll go through my thoughts about it, and I'll go in depth layer by layer what you will be receiving for the $79 price tag. I also have a review of, I'm going to be doing a fine cast review on Ogre Fire Mage Fire Belly. I'll leave my opinions until I start on that. And let's see, I'm also going to go over, yes, I finally jumped on the ship. I got it because I figured might as well figure out what everyone's talking about. It is a good deal. I'm going to be going over the new War Machine box set. The two-player box set containing the small rule book, the two armies. We'll be going over that and my thoughts about that and a little bit about the P3 paints. Let's see. I've been painting my Molly crew, and they've been coming along quite nice. Matter of fact, I got a couple select bases with some nice sculpts I got from Fiendish Fabrications. You can go ahead and check them out. They're linked to them on my site. They do some really great resin bases, and they're not just inserts. The whole round lip base and everything that you can use for Malifaux, they're pretty sweet. They have everything from cobblestone suites to gothic horror, cowboy theme, clockwork, which I would like a lot. I don't know why I'm going to use a clockwork theme yet for a Malifaux if I get them. Let's see. Oh, Fire and Brimstone for you Neverborn out there, especially if you're running Niflheim like I am. They sent me a complete set of that, and I'll be posting those up and doing my review on those. Well, individual review on those, and they do a nice job. Really make your Malifaux figures pop out and give you something different than the local game store might have. You know, everyone buying the weird inserts to give you something new to put your Malifaux people on. So it's pretty sweet. Check them out at Fiendish Fabrications. You can search them on Facebook. They're there. And I got a link to them on my site. So that's what I've been doing with that. I painted some War Machine. Well, I'm just doing my weeks in hobby, so we'll go over that. Let's see. Painting some War Machine. And that's about it. I'm moving my studio this coming up week. When I mean studio, I do mean my bedroom. And so maybe I'll get some more painting done once that's all said and done. Let's see. My granddaughter turned six. Granddaughter turned first. One on the six. God, if I was going to edit this, I'd edit that all out. So let's go ahead and before we start into the reviews and everything, let's go ahead and tell you. Well, give you my information. You want to give me any type of feedback, comments, or whatever, you can send them to Sean Hammer, the number 9 at yahoo.com. Leave me some Facebook reviews. Not Facebook reviews. God, leave me an iTunes review. That would be nice. I like iTunes reviews. I like reading them. I like seeing my thing come up. The minute I start making it up on iTunes reviews, I'll finally come up with a logo. yeah, send me some ideas and stuff. And that's exactly what this Christmas giveaway is about. I have two bags. They are the Space Marine THQ Ultramarine Blue Knapsack Bags, each containing a limited edition 2011 Games Day Skaven piece, new in the blister. It also has, each one has a Black Library novel autographed. I don't know which ones I'm giving away yet, but two autographed novels, one in each. And probably a little random tidbits of goodies, Warhammer, Malifaux. Well, probably not so much Malifaux because I don't have any extra because I'm a Malifaux whore right now, hoarder. So yeah, that was pretty cool gift bags. And all you gotta do is your chance to win these is you can go ahead. I want you to email me at SeanHannenberg9@yahoo.com. In the subject, I want you to put good elf or bad elf. Or, you know, let me know. Or good fanatic, bad fanatic. Let me know what kind of fanatic you are. If you are a good fanatic, I want you to put in the email ways to help out Sean Hammer. What I can put in the show, such and such, ideas and so forth. And you also can put, you know, and you leave an iTunes review, you boost your chance up. If you put bad fanatic, I want an email describing exactly why you need, over top of all the other good and bad boys and girls out there, why you need this the bad Sean Hammer gift. That's it. I'll pick out from the best ones. I'm not going to go randomly on this one. So the best ideas win. It's pretty unique prizes. I'll send them right out. I'm probably going to say I'd love to do it by Christmas, but by the time I post this, won't have enough time. So I'll give it to New Year's Eve, 2011. I'll pull out the winner of the good fanatic, bad fanatic prize bag. And that'd be that. And hopefully, as you know, there's some extras in there that I'm not putting on the air, so you check. But I want to see some creativity from people. Good fanatic, bad fanatic. Simple as that. To win the Malifaux, which will be happening next year, and get you guys started, this one's easy. Leave me an iTunes review. Simple as that. And have turn somebody onto the show. Tell them, hey, have you listened to Sean Hammer? You know, send me an email. Say, hey, Sean, I left an iTunes review. My user's name is this, and I turned this person onto it. That'll get you enjoying to win the Malifaux Prize. Now, if they sit there and they turn somebody on to stuff, and every time your name's used in these emails I get, another name and thing. So that's it. That's my horror giveaways. Also, my week of gaming, I was sick, so I couldn't do a podcast because I couldn't really speak without sniffling and snorting, and my wife hates that. Love you, baby. Let's see. I sold some Dogs of War stuff. Pretty cheap on eBay. I was hoping that the bid would go up a little bit more, but it didn't, so I got the minimum bid. What can I ask for? Let's see. Went shopping, Christmas shopping. You're going to say, well, how's that the week of gaming? Well, simple as this. I don't care. My wife and kids bought me the Millennium Falcon Lego Star Wars set. Sweet ass bitches. Suck it up. Let's see. I've gotten some other stuff. I picked up some spray paint from Army Painter and also a dark tone shading bucket. I'm going to give that a try. And for all of you in horror that love to paint your, if you listen to me and you play War Machine and you love painting your War Machine figs and you think they're above that, I'm dipping the damn infantry. That's all there is to it. So, and see, that's about my time in gaming. I was just playing some HeroClix, spending some time with family, being sick, dealing with stuff, sons of basketball, daughters in cheer, had some birthdays. My wife's birthday was in November, my daughter's birthday in November, my granddaughter's birthday in December, so happy birthday, ladies. And this is not my week in gaming, and we'll go right to the Firebelly preview right after I blurt this out. And then we'll take, after Firebelly preview, we will have a commercial break. I'll probably just play, I don't know, commercials or theme song, probably commercials, and get them out of the way. Let's see. Okay, well, I'm at work last night, searching for this dude. I'm in charge, I'm a supervisor. Love the job, it's pretty cool. I think I've seen everything, so So I'm walking around. I'm signing, having everyone sign a thank you card for lady we work with, because she's buying everyone pizza for our Christmas party. Searching for this guy high and low, can't find him. Well, I go by the I'm a custodian, so I go by the custodian closet. And I hear water running. Well, I was like, oh, this guy's in his closet, emptying his mop bucket and stuff in the slop sink. You know, those sinks on the bottom of the sinks on the bottom of the floor and stuff. And there's black hose coming down from the wall where you can like hose out your buckets and everything. So I was like, oh, you know, there he is. I'm gonna name drop him, Carl. I'm looking for him. And so I figured Carl's in the closet. So just when I think I see everything possible that I can ever see, I open up the closet expecting to see Carl at the sink washing out his mop bucket. Open the door, look to the left. Instead of Carl washing out his mop bucket, wringing out his mop, I see Carl standing butt naked in slop sinks covered with hand soap or... I don't know if I. It could have been a freaking cleaning product that we clean toilets with. I don't know. This dude standing butt naked, ass facing me, in the fucking sink, taking a bath or shower. A grown ass man. And I was like, all I could say was, "Oh, Carl," and left, and waiting for him to come down. Of course, he got, you know, shit handed to him and stuff. But just when you think you've seen it all, yeah, life gives you a little bit more. Well, I had to share that with somebody. I had to get it out there. I wanted to tell other guys to work with, but I don't want to ridicule to go around. I can be cruel, but not that cruel. Let's see. Well, let's go into the first review. I picked up a while back. I picked up the Firebelly. This is a fine cast resin model by Games Workshop, so little miniatures. Retailing at a freak load of money. Way too much money. Okay, I know Games Workshop loves to charging more for characters. I get it. They're not going to sell in volume characters compared to, like, infantry or regular heroes or generic, you know. I get it. They got to make a little bit more money because of casting and stuff. So, I'm looking through them. And it's in a box. It's in a box with an awesome painted picture. Whoever painted it, Firebelly, sculpted it, shit like that. They did a really great job. But I happen to notice on the wall is... Well, on the shelf is Golfag. He's in a box. Cool. Golfag's in a box. But the Decapitator guy, the whatchamacallit, the Executioner Brag, I think his name is. Or Slag or Drag. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not going to use him because I don't use a lot of special characters in fantasy because no one really allows them in tournaments or anything we play. 40K is a different story, but fantasy, there it is. But I look in this clear package that Brag comes in. Brag the Gutsman, I don't know his name. Well, I should know his name, but he's a freaking... He's in the middle of a spider web of a Flash, holding him in the middle of this clear package. And to my horror, I'm all like, Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on, you know? And she's like, this guy is seriously, like, 30-some-odd dollars or more. He's in a small individual character package. I mean, this is Ogre, and I'm looking at it, and it's just like, holy shit. I mean, so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, the Firebelly's in a box. So I say maybe he's a little bit better cleaned up and they spend a little bit more money because they did it for packaging. You know, they spend a little bit more money for packaging. I figure maybe, I should know better, that Games Workshop maybe put like a half scenic base to put them on. They do it with some plastic models, so I figure why wouldn't they do it with a fine cast resin? So let's go ahead and talk about the model itself before I fuck it. Let's go. I open it up. This thing looks like a damn voodoo doll. It's got Flash sticking all of it every single which way. It's freaking a nightmare. In the middle of the mouth, it's held up on the sprue by he's blowing out smoke and stuff on the model. But in the middle of the model, he's got like the on the part that holds him on the sprue in his mouth. So here now I gotta clean this shit out. I never worked with freaking resin or cared for it in the beginning. I always thought, and up until I was an avid gamer, I thought it was just a type of plastic. I mean, that's what it is. You know, that's what I thought. So I'm looking at this thing in horror. There is no scenic base, may I mind you. The middle of his belly, as with all other ogres, is hollow. I paid this much money for a freaking level 1 mage. Okay. Did not like that. But kind of got you over a barrel here, because, you know, you can have some old Ogre Kingdoms and run an army. It doesn't take much Ogre Kingdoms. You can buy the Thunder Tusk or the other thing you can turn it into. They're monstrous creatures, so they're going to cost relatively like everyone else's. I'm not worrying about the Sky Cannon because I think it's a piece of trash. I figure, okay, I mean, my brews are out of extra Iron Guts and shit. I can buy a Fire Belly at this price. It's not going to kill me. I want to run a Fire Belly. My whole theme of my ogres is going to be fire and ice. Thunder Tusk with ice, the Dragon High Banner for ice, Fire Bellies for fire, and Lead Belchers. So, I paid the on the cost. Very disappointed with the cost per product. Sculpt is nice. The material's nice. It's super light. I don't know if it's going to melt or whatever. And everyone's telling me. I hope to hell not. Because I seen a Land Raider from Forge World warp in a chunk of hot car. So I don't know what this would do if it's actually lower quality. It's a bitch. It was a bitch to clean up. I don't like cleaning models. I mean, especially if you're going to pay upper... And, you know, you break $25 for one single model. I don't think there should be a lot of cleanup. The casting should be nice. I've received stuff from Finnish Fabrications for bases. Bases and models and scenery from Mr. Dandy. Beautiful. Hardly any cleanup. These models. And these people weren't just making them because they said, oh, this guy's going to do a review on his podcast. You know, I'm not no friggin' internet celebrity or nothing. But I've heard from other people, too, that their crap is coming through. I mean, their product, I wouldn't say crap, because these people have nice product, is coming through with hardly any cleanup. Now, it took me forever. I'm not happy with some of the chunks I put in my fucking ogre, but I figure maybe he's got scars. So I base him as normal. Takes to the primer, as you would expect. Paints up normal. All in all, it's a beautiful model. I haven't quite finished him. I know... I haven't finished a lot. I keep saying I'll post stuff up on the internet, but one day I'll get off my ass and do it. All in all, model, the end result, based on your painting and modeling skills, it's going to turn out nice. You got to have something for a base and make this guy pop in your army. Simple as that. But you got to watch out because for some odd freaking reason, they made Warhammer 8th Edition True Line of Sight. So you don't want to put this guy in a big old Lion King, you know, base and, you know, on the rock and stuff, make him look badass because somebody's gonna pop him a cannonball. So, all in all, he paints up like anything Games Workshop has to have. I picked up Castilian Crow for my Grey Knights. Thank God I picked him up in metal, because if I would have bought Castilian Crow with smaller detail and smaller areas, I had to cut more flash than I pretty much. The amount of flash and extra shit that was in this box for the Fire Belly was pretty much the amount of resin there was to cast the main body of the ogre. Freaking unbelievable. I mean, you're paying this amount. But anyway, I'm glad that's it. You gotta have a Fire Belly. Unless some other company makes it, or you sculpt it out of something with some green stuff and using an already existing ogre, you're stuck. Over a barrel, you gotta buy it, especially if you play in Games Workshop sanctioned tournaments. So, my thumbs up, thumbs down on this. I'm going to give this a thumbs down solely based on price compared to beginning quality. I have no problem with the material. I have no problem with the sculpt. I have a problem with the price compared to what I got. I got a box, and that was probably the sweetest part of the model. I mean, I could have cut it out and put it on a little stand and used a paper model for the ogre Fire Belly. I would have been happier than going through the hell. I don't like to clean the models. I'm going to tell you that. As a matter of fact, if I could buy Games Workshop models or any models for that fact, already assembled and cleaned, I would. So this was not impressive to me. Painting up nice. I have not a problem with the way it looks. I don't know how it's going to handle heat. I don't live in a... you know, tropical climate or nothing. I mean, I'm in Michigan, for Christ's sake. It can get hot, but not for long periods of time. And I don't usually leave things in the car, so I might be safe. It's a nice looking model. The sculptor did a really great job. Sculptor gives a thumbs up. I'll find your name, I think, and give you a shout out. The sculptor at Fire Belly Ogre gets a thumbs up. Finecast for their product display in the box did a very good job selling me that model. Finecast for actually packaging and what I opened that up, thumbs down. Also, what extra you get for it, I can't believe it didn't have anything for that amount of money for an ogre non-character for a hero choice. I'm very upset. I mean, I'm glad I got a fire belly. It is what it is. And for you of you out there who, if you don't have to run a fire belly, but if you want to, this is what you're looking at. You know, buyer beware, I guess. So that is my first Games Workshop review of a product. Don't know how I felt about it. I thought it would go a little bit better. I was excited about the sculpt and stuff. Hey, but what do you do? Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear from some other podcasts and sponsor, maybe. And we'll come back and I'll go over the Malifaux bag from Battlefoam and also cover the Privateer Press's release of the two-player starter set for War Machine. So, enjoy the little commercials and we'll have another couple product reviews and I'll be back. Then we'll go over top of Hamlin, the plague. Enjoy.
Can you hear that? The sleigh bells. Ha-ra-ba-ba-bum! Ho! 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 Ba-ba-ba-bum! Ho! 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 Ho!
I can't sleep when I think of presents waiting for me under the tree. It's probably the only time I'm up before 6:30.
And we are back from the break. And let's see. Next up, we have the Malifaux carrying case storage bag from Battlefoam. I got mine in burgundy. I like it. Nice little solid little piece. So let's pop this bitch open. First of all, we have a nice flap on the outside of the case. As I open out, it's got some pockets. I think it'll be big enough to hold maybe a small rules manual. It's got a nice canvas strap as well as a plastic carrying handle. It's got the front zipper part. You open it up, it's got the dual zipper thing, just like the luggage. And the side I opened up was the the model section. On the inside, there's another flap to hold, I don't know, another rules manual if you want, character sheets or something. I don't think this is big enough to hold the full-size rule books. Okay. Let's see. I want to tell everyone that my experience with carrying cases only is solely just Games Workshop plastic cases. I've owned nothing else since then. But up on top, we have a larger model selection. Larger holes, I should say. Inside, I have my Ortegas in the taking up to 5 top spots, and they fit pretty good in there. It holds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Figures this size. In it, I have my younger Nephilim as well. They're pushing the foam apart, which I don't know how I feel about that, but I don't want to. I will explain that. But this is one tray. It holds, what I say, 32 models. You can shake your models around on it. There's not too much at all movement because the way the bases fit in. The next tray down has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Spots. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 spots of the previous selection. I have my Karaya crew in it, and they fit in there pretty nice. Again, another quality tray. It's got a hard foam bottom. The foam is a little stiff on this, on the Battle Foam. It's not super soft like the Games Workshop. Now, on the bottom, this is my first time ever dealing with the pluck and pull foam, I guess. It's got a large open area on the bottom for pull and pluck or whatever you want to call it. I was worried at first when I got this bag because there's one model I want to put in here, and she fits nicely. I put my Nakima in here. She fits nice inside the case. Nice little snug fit. I put some of the extra foam behind her wingspan to hold her. I also have I put the Ice Golem in there too. He's on a 40mm base. I'll probably end up putting my Nephilim in there too. But I didn't want to pull up too much of the foam without knowing that there's other models coming, such as the Avatars and everything. So, pretty snazzy. All in all, as the foam capacity, holds a lot of models. I don't know if it's going to hold enough once I start getting into my Hamlin crew. I probably sure it will and get everything put up. I don't see myself, as of this time, buying a lot more Malifaux, but I have been proven wrong by this company. Let's see. Let's zip this up. Flip it over because it's got another section. Unzip that here. We are looking at another inner pocket flap. We have a strap, metal clasp, and a shoulder strap because it's got the hooks on the side of the bag. It's got two areas, looks like, for pins, although be it they small pins, but pins nevertheless. Two pockets, which fit very nicely to fate decks. Let's see. And with a larger pocket, I'm going to test this out right now. Open that up, and it will fit sideways. If you're going to do it this way, it'll fit your cards. If you open up your cards and lay it down, although I don't do that, I put them inside of a card case. Want to try and laminate them or something. And it's got a longer pouch for probably pencils as well. Not too bad. It'll hold two decks of cards, your character cards, some pins and stuff. Not too shabby. Overall, the durability of the case looks pretty solid. It's got a lot of hard cardboard in there and stuff, and or be it plastic in between the lips. I'm not sure. Nice looking bag. I think it average retails for around about $79. I got a bit of a break on it. Had it for a little bit. Never did a product review, but it's holding all of my Malifaux figures. And I have my Cry Crew, my Perdidas, my Colati, my Lilith, soon to be my Hamlin. And soon to be on my Molly Squid Pidge, their group. And it fits them all pretty well. I can see myself, if Malifaux keeps putting out a quality product, I'm going to maybe need another one of these. But it's not too bad. It's a nice case to take to tournaments along with your local hobby store. It keeps everything pretty well content all by itself out of the way. I like it. I will give this one probably a thumbs up. Wish the price was a little bit cheaper, because like I said, I'm used to buying Games Workshop cases, and I've been picking those up for average about 50. This is another 30. But nice product. Pretty nice indeed. A nice specialist case. Quality. It's nice. Nice indeed. So, yeah. If you got a Malifaux player out there who would like to have one of these for Christmas, I'm giving it a thumbs up. Now, if you got a Malifaux player out there that only plays one or two crews, it's a waste of space. I wouldn't worry too much about it. You spend your money on a smaller case somewhere, maybe a KR. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not an expert on cases. I know what I have, and I know what I'm comparing this to. All right, next up is the War Machine Introduction box set. This is $100. It comes with two complete forces. I have not read the rules or nothing. Let's see. It comes with a rule book, a mini rule book, which compared to Games Workshop and Malifaux, it's a little bit less solid, a little bit flimsier paper, but still complete rule book nevertheless. It comes with character cards similar to what Malifaux plays, apparently. They're unit cards. It comes with two armies, I guess. I'm going to call them armies because I have no idea about the size and stuff right now. But one is the Protectorate of Menoth and Kador. Inside you have the High Exemplar Krios. You have a Repenter Light Warjack, a Vanquisher Heavy Warjack, and a Crusader Heavy Warjack, and Exemplar Sinitarians or whatever. Okay, let's go ahead. Well, now go over what the Kador comes with, and then I'll go over the models and stuff. It comes with a Sorsha, a Juggernaut Heavy Warjack, a Destroyer Heavy Warjack, and a Man of War Shock Trooper unit. Each of the two units are 5. And the rest of the box comes with the cards to figures, a small little no quarter, which seems to be Privateer Press's equivalent to White Dwarf. Excuse me for anyone out there that really loves that and says White Dwarf can't compare to this. I understand. I'm just comparing, magazine to magazine right now. Let's see. It comes with a little introductory guide to tell you how you put your models together. A brief little painting segment, which I tried following for painting one of each of my Warjacks. Boston Privateer Paints. I'll be honest with you, I'm not happy with the thickness of the paint. It's really watery. The color comes out nice. After like a lot of coats, I'm not used to them. Usually used to get a nice solid coat, one or two, and I usually use Games Workshop paint, so going through and painting stuff with like McCandrick Red, which is your foundation. It goes on nice. And I used the Kador base, and I thought it would. Well, I thought it was going to be a base paint. It's just a base color. So it's a little thin, but it comes out nice. Let's see. It came with a rule book. It came with this little introduction guide. A no quarter, mini no quarter. And it comes with a law, which I gotta say, the downfall of this box set is the measuring device. It comes with a little plastic roll-up tape measure that will not stay erect or elongated unless you hold it with both hands. For a company that produces plastic miniatures, metal miniatures, they could have. I would have been happy with little sticks or just a little baby regular tape measure to stick out. I mean, you buy them at the dollar store, for Christ's sake. So it's no big deal. But if you need it for the measuring device and you're taking this somewhere and you're playing right out of the box, not happy with the tape measure, but the rest of it's a pretty good box. Comes with some dice. About the models. It's pretty cool. I was kind of intimidated at first when I opened it because everything was in bags. But it's pretty well separated. Both of the mages, I guess, battle mages, came in one pack. The exemplar incinerators, they come individually packaged, all their little pieces in individual bags, kind of like on a lollipop thing. We got all the lollipops that looks like a chain gun belt. The shock troopers come in one big bag. Warjacks, the two Kador warjacks came in one big bag. The two warjacks for the Menoth come in two different bags, as well as the light warjack. I have no idea what these average out to, but I imagine these are two starter sets of equal value. And I gotta give Privateer Press a high five on this one. I'm glad to see someone putting out a starter box that has two equally units that are playable outside of the box. Games Workshop, their Black Reach and their Island of Blood are fine products. but unfortunately, neither of them are balanced forces out of the box. Similarities, you know, with small rule books and stuff. And price, actually. Let's see. The models themselves, they're a weird plastic. I don't know if they're resin. Pretty much all the flash was off of them. It was pretty nice. There was a few pieces that I had to clean up. It was a little bit the plastic, I think, that they're made out of. And it could be resin, so forgive me. A little bit hard to scrape off the mold lines and stuff. And gluing was easy with regular super glue. And it looked pretty cool. I have no love for this game yet because I haven't played it. I'm going to paint it now. I tried painting it with the paints using examples. Didn't like the way the P3 paints went. So with the shock troopers, I'm actually going to do the dip with the army painter dip and use the army builder red base. And to go over there with them in the Menoth white base that I use, looks like bleach bone. So is it necessary to run out and get new paints for everything? Probably not. If you got ass load of Games Workshop paints, you'll get satisfactory match colors and stuff. I gotta admit that after the couple base coats of the red, the Kador red does look nice. And the paint guides are nice and simple. You can even, especially with the jacks, you feel pretty self-accomplished painting these things just by following the paint instructions. Inside the painting guide, it gives you, of course, the other factions of War Machine, as well as Beyond the Iron Kingdoms, because I guess you can play War Machine with Hordes, and that's pretty cool. As a Privateer Press newbie, I'm imagining, if you would ask me, it would be kind of like painting Warhammer with 40k, but it's not like that. It's totally, I guess it's compatible more so than what I'm thinking, but I like the fact that you can use both systems in battles against each other, so that's pretty cool. This box set, I'm going to give it a thumbs up. It's great value. $100. Model count's not as high as Island of Blood or Assault of Black Reach, but considering the fact that I believe that these are two playable forces from each other, it's pretty good. And from what I've heard other podcasts say, if you would buy the two Warjacks and Sorsha for the one, it'd come up to around 50. If you buy the same Warjacks for Menoth, it'd come up around 50. So basically, if you buy them independently, they'd cost you $100. And this way, you're getting two units of five guys that weren't available in plastic before. They're in metal. So, I mean, it's a bonus. Plus, you're getting a small little rule book. Good little box set. Can't wait to find someone who will play it with me, get my models all painted up, and, you know, up in the future, I'll do I guess, a War Machine, my views of the box set playing it. But as for purchasing it, if you're looking for, someone's asking for it for Christmas, birthday, holidays, or you just love them, it's a good buy. $100, it seems pricey, but you got enough to play. Nice packaging, things are cleaned up really well inside the box. It's a good buy. I'm not disappointed with it at all. And that's my review of the box set for War Machine so far. So, that leads us up to one thing. We're going to go over Hamlin, the Plagued, on the Pied Piper of Malifaux. And I go over his box set, a little bit of my opening ideas for tips and tricks. And, yeah, we'll take another little break, and we'll be back with that. All right, catch you guys in a few.
Santa Claus! Ho, 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 ho.
Flying through the snow, can you hear him? Ho, ho, ho! He's so full of cheer.
So, enough with all the music. Today has been a very musically inclined episode. And let's go ahead and go into Hamlin the Plague box set for Malifaux. Okay, first of all, let's go ahead and go over what comes in the box. In the box comes three Stolen, which are little kids, three Malifaux rats, which are self-explanatory. And they are rats. Don't be stupid. We have Hamlin the Plague, of course, and Nix the Bulb Terrier. Alrighty. Why Hamlin, you say? For one, he seems pretty badass. Let's start there. He's not a resurrectionist. He's an outcast. But you can summon all these Stolen, and you can sacrifice crap, and summon rats, and sacrifice the rats to activate Nix, activate other rat catchers, the Obedient Wretch, and Hamlin, turning everybody into insignificant, making it hell for the other player to play. I like it. This reminds me of my hardcore Magic days back in the 90s. Yeah, I'm old. But anyway, no, I used to play Magic. You know, you get the people who play the blue decks, which are control and stuff. I like to play. I used to believe that black decks were control. And I used to play a lot of rat decks and rat plague decks. And I think that winning through plague and, you know, the small little rats killing your ass is pretty sweet. So this is what this set does. Second of all, this is the coolest figure and coolest story for a figure, in my opinion, in the Malifaux book for Rising Powers. And this would be Nyx the Bold Terrier. This guy, he's had a hard life, man. The first Malifaux book, he was a poor little puppy on the base of the Hamlin. And now he's a 40-millimeter beast, costing 7 soul stones, rotted out from the inside out, and still good dog deep down. I like his little backstory that he's wandering around Malifaux trying to find the true Hamlin, because Hamlin the Plague is not Hamlin, it's actually the tyrant inside Hamlin's body, I guess. And he doesn't know why the tyrant doesn't know why Hamlin's dog Nyx is walking around in Malifaux form, because it's man's best friend. And some of the stories are pretty cool. And the end of the story, it says, you know, that he even helps people around his journey. So he's kind of like, you know, an evil mutated rotted out lassie. I kind of like it. That's another reason why Hamlin play Hamlin. Third for me is the sewer bases. Sewer bases are freaking sweet. My favorite. The morgue bases I thought were sweet. The sewer bases are even cooler. And it fits. Plus, I want to own Terror Clips. Their sewer set. I think a sewer board for Malifaux is sweet. Sewer bases, Hamlin, rats, check. Fourth and not finally, or maybe fifth, I don't know what this is. My mom used to take me to Frankenmuth a lot with my dad. And on the Bavarian Inn, they have this clock. And it talks about every hour, 2 hours, it chimes and tells the Pied Piper story. And it's got the little, it's like a big giant cuckoo clock that tells a story. Over a loudspeaker playing music with the big mannequins and stuff. So technically speaking, it's a little bit sentimental as well. That might be sick. But it is what it is. So let's go ahead and I believe we'll start with a stolen. And come with 3 of these. These poor innocent looking kids are pretty cool. My favorite one so far is there's two, it looks like two boys. It could be two girls and one boy, but I'm not sure. The one's kind of autonomous. It could be either or. But the one's definitely a girl. She's in like a little petticoat thing. She's got a mirror. She's holding a doll. Kind of creepy. I like it. They're 3 points apiece. For their abilities, they got one wound. They have 5 walk with no charge. Their height 1, willpower 4, CA of 5, defense 5, and 1 wound. They're harmless. Their abilities are horrible realization. When you kill one of these, it's killed by a non-soulless model. The model must win a willpower 13 duel or receives paralyzed. Pretty cool, you know. I was like, oh my god, I killed a little kid. So there's that. We have an inevitable fate. When his model is killed or sacrificed, summon one Malifaux of rat in the play in contact with it before it's removed from play. So we got a little bit of rat swapping, so that's pretty cool. Also, we have no humanity. When this model is killed or sacrificed, non-soulless models receive a -2 willpower. So the way I'm reading this, when its model is killed or sacrificed by a 9 soulless model, it must win a weapons willpower duel 13. Also, when it does that, a range pulse of 6 or of 6 is also a -2 willpower. So they're down on willpower, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Anyone out there, just say, hey, Sean, you're being a moron again. Stop fucking up. Their actions are, for all their actions, you sacrifice this model. And so you sacrifice this model. Bam, inevitable fate, they become a rat. Target model within 6 inches receives insignificant until the end of the encounter. The model may prevent this by discarding 2 control cards. Pretty sweet. I mean, get a little bit of control, you know, summoning some rats, killing some stolen, such and such. For spells, they have a bleeding disease. They have one spell, bleeding disease. Casting cost of 10, resist willpower, range of 12, which is, this is pretty cool because, you know, you got the no humanity, you know, you can, like, cut down your little willpower. Target mono sulfur is one wound for each blight counter on it. And we'll get to blight counters in a minute. Their next spell is succumb. Casting cost 10, resistive defense, range 6. Target model loses any immunities and cannot ignore target and spells requiring willpower duels. So this gets around, you know, things like constructs that would ignore immunity. So that's pretty cool. So we got them little guys running. They're 3 soul stones. I don't know. Not bad. Not bad for one wound, but they're not there to go out there and they're not go out there to be combat. They're out there to die, make you feel bad. And you can summon more. We'll get to that. Next up, we have the Mighty Malifaux Rat. This is what we'll be seeing, and I'll explain how many of these you need to buy. This is a 2 soul stone model. It's got a walk 5, charge 8, height 1, willpower 4. Oh, before I forget, the stone are insignificant and soulless. And the Malifaux Rat is insignificant and vermin. And this one, insignificant usually is a bad thing, but not so much with this box set. But they got a walk 5, charge of 8, height 1, 4 willpower, casting of 4, defense of 4, and 2 wounds. They have an attack of yellow teeth, range of 1, with a CB of 4, and a 1, 2, and 2 for damage. On top of the Malifaux sewer bases, pretty sweet. I could do a mitt. Now, these guys have their abilities called Devoured. When this model is killed or sacrificed, it does not generate any counters. Instead, all friendly vermin within 3 inches heal 2 wounds. Not bad at all. Matter of fact, don't forget that the Rat Catcher, I believe, has the vermin trait as well, so he'll heal. They have Flock. When activating this model, simultaneously activate all friendly Malifaux Rats within 4 inches that have not already activated this turn. So they got a little bit of the family thing with the rats. They can scout. They're tiny. Ranged strikes and ranged spells targeting this model receive a negative flip to their attack and casting flips. This model does not block line of sight to other models. And they're unfocused. This model may not block disengaging models. Models may move through on this model's base, but not stop on it. The weapons, yellow teeth. Models damaged by this weapon gain 1 blight counter. So then we, you know, here we got the synergy with the stolen with her spell and stuff. They got instinctual. They also have a negative 1 slow. 0 actions are hungry rats. Sacrifice all corp and scrap counters within 6 inches. Impetuous, for 0 action, this model flips to receive a plus 1 during the next action. We have 0 action again, Withering Mass. This model suffers 1 wound. Move this model in base contact with another friendly Malifaux Rat within 5 inches. Then we have Rat Problem for 1. Sacrifice this model and 2 other friendly Malifaux Rats within 3 inches. Summon 1 Rat Catcher in base contact with this model before it is removed from play. Pretty cool. I didn't bring the book. I'd like to go over the Rat Catcher, but we'll go over that. We'll do that in the Once Upon a Time in Malifaux segment is coming up. Triggers, they have for 1 crow, they have yellow teeth. After damaging defender with the yellow teeth strike, this defender receives 2 willpower until the end of the encounter. Pretty nice. We have overrun by vermin for 1. And this is a spell. Casting cost of 10. Resist of defense, range 6. Target model receives insignificant until the start of next draw phase. Not bad. You know, you got the rats. You're going to have a lot of these. Simple as that. I mean, to actually own a Hamelin the Plague box set, a crew with the sewer counters is not cheap because you're going to need a couple extra stolen, I think, and definitely some more Malifaux rats. You need the Obedient Wretch and some Rat Catchers because you can summon those too, so it's really great. Next up, we have my favorite model out of the set. We have Nyx the Bull Terrier. I love him. He's 7 soul stones, insignificant, soulless, and spirit. He's got a walk of 5, charge of 8, height 2, willpower 5, casting of 5, defense of 5, and 6 wounds. His attack is feed on anima, range of 2, CB of 6, 4 damage for weak, 3, then 2. A little bit backwards is what we're used to, but not bad. Let's see, Gorge on Pain for its abilities. This model immediately takes a zero action when a model sacrifices 4 inches of it. Not bad. You're going to be doing a lot of sacrificing in this this group. That means Nyx is going to be your free activator throughout this whole thing. We got Hamlin's Dog. He can only be hired by crews containing any Hamlin model. So it could be Hamlin, you know, from the first one, the first book. It could be Hamlin from, you know, the Avdar, who knows. He's got magic resistance 2. He's got this thing which I'm going to butcher, but Nihilism. While this model's in play, friendly models lose insignificant. If this model's in play at the end of the encounter, no friendly models count as insignificant. So it takes all your little children and all your little rats and makes them objective grabbers. He's got the sweet taste of failure. When this model heals one wound whenever another model loses a duel. Not bad. We're working on a little bit of willpower modifications and willpower duels. Maybe he'll heal quite a bit in the game. He's got the feed on anima. Models damaged by this weapon gain 1 blight counter. There we are again with the blight. His actions are 0 for drain essence. Sacrifice a friendly model within 3 inches. This model makes a healing flip. So don't forget, when we sacrifice the model within 3 inches, it activates Gorge on Pain. He can take another 0 action. He's got Emptiness. This is an aura or off flips by made by non-Solus models. And duels receive a -1. Yeah, not too bad. There we got some negative flips. We got Herd Dog for 0. Push all stolen and Malifaux rats up to 3 inches in any direction. This is a 6-inch pulse. 0 action, we have Unconscious Behavior. Target another model within 6 inches. Nominate one of the target's weapons, which receives +2 to its weak damage and -2 to its severe. Another model, though. It could even be your own. Let's see. Scent of Pain, this is 1 action. This model may push up to 8 inches directly towards a model that has suffered 1 or more wounds this turn. Pretty nice. We got the little dog hopping up there. Not bad. Not bad. We have triggers. Submit. This is a trigger off feed on anima. Anima. After resolving this weapon's damage flip, defender's duel receives a negative flip this model's duel flip receives a +2. And this does not stack with Drink Spirit. And last trigger, we have Stink of Death. This is also feed on anima. If this weapon inflicts severe damage, and don't forget, with next severe damage is only 2, so it's not too shabby. Inflict no damage. Summon 1 Malifaux rat. Pretty cool. Spells, he's got 0 spell, Dysthymia. Casting cost of 10. Resist willpower. Aura of 6. Reduce the weak damage of all models' weapons to 1. Okay. We have Bleeding Disease. Well, we go Drink Spirit first. Casting cost 12. Resist willpower. Range 12. Target model's dual flips receive -1. This model's dual flip receives a +. Last but not least, we have Bleeding Disease. This is where all the blight counters from the rats and stuff are going to come in, and also Nyx's. Target model suffers 1 wound for each blight counter on it. Not bad. Not bad at all. So, I mean, I like it. I'm liking where it's going. I haven't played yet. My guinea pig, another rodent, is going to be Becker. Yes, Becker. You will taste what it's like to be all... Okay. Anyway, we have Hamlin the Plague now. This guy's got a lot of crap. He's a book. He's Insignificant Master and Soulless. He's got a walk of 5, charge of 8, height 2, willpower 8. Casting of 7 with a mask, defense of 5, 12 wounds. He has the Black Staff of 2 inch range, CB of 6, He's got damage, a 0 with a star, which we'll get to that. A 3 and a 9. Not bad. Not bad at all. He's got pipes, range of 10, CB7 with a mask, damage 1, 3, 3 with a star. Now let's go on to the novel that is called Hamlin the Plague. This guy, his ability, he's a bully. Cannot be targeted by white one or insignificant models. So right now we got stuff turning your models insignificant. You can't target Hamlin. You know what do you do? We got Indiscriminate Void. When this model is killed or sacrificed, place a Hamlin the Plague in a base contact with a friendly Stolen. Now this used to be within 3 inches, but it's anywhere now. Then sacrifice the model. Hamlin receives a negative 4 CA into the end of the encounter. So, you know, this guy keeps ticking. We have the Lure of Emptiness. Crews containing this model may only hire height 1, insignificant, and soulless models, but may hire them from any faction and at no additional cost. Crews containing this model may not hire gremlins, constructs, or henchmen. He's got Nihilism. While this model is in play, friendly models lose insignificant. If the model is in play at the end of the counter, no friendly models count as insignificant. He's got the Void. Beginning with the second turn, you will draw no cards in the draw phase. Each turn, nominate an opponent, which is always going to be, for me, for the time being, Andrew Becker. Hello, Becker. Draw one card from the Fate deck, or top of the discard pile, each time the nominated opponent plays a control card. This model's controller may ignore enemy effects targeting this model, which require him or her to discard control cards. And he's got Ferocious Rats. When this model or a model within 6 inches of it is killed, summon one Malifaux Rat in base contact with the model before it's removed from play. This does not generate counters of any kind. No other models can be summoned as a result of the model being killed. Let's see, weapons. He's got the Black Staff. And forgive me for a minute. When this model inflicts weak damage on an enemy model, this model suffers 2 wounds. Enemy models wounded by this weapon gain 1 blight counter. And so you don't want to be doing weak damage with the Black Staff. Let's see. We have pipes. This weapon inflicts severe damage on any non-master model with willpower 5 or less. The model immediately takes a 1 action or charge controlled by this this model's controller, so it's like a little bay, you know, pretty nice. Hamlin is fast. He's got 0 action, Fate of the Meaningless. Fate is meaningless. This model ignores any negative or positive flips during its next action. It's got 0 action, Useless Toy. Sacrifice target-friendly model within 6 inches. This model receives a plus flip to attack and defense flips during the next action. Let's see. Actions. He's got Abandoned Souls. Sacrifice target friendly model within 6. Draw 2 control cards and heal this model within 2. Don't forget that Next can go ahead and do his little gorge on pain every time, you know, sacrificing it when he's within the aura. He's got Lure for 1 action of Malifaux Citizen. Summon 1 the Stolen. This action may be taken once per turn. Hence why we need the Obedient Wretch, so we can cast it through her, too. Well, that's a spell, not action. Damn it, we suck. Triggers, we have Plague. This goes off Bleeding Disease. After damaging Defender with its spell, cast a spell at negative 2 CA. We also have Haunting Melody with the Pipes. After resolving this model's damage flip, the defender must win a willpower versus this model's combat total or gain insignificant until the end of the encounter. Then again, here we go, making the other people's models insignificant again. Spells, we have Bleeding Disease. We've seen that before, where target model suffers 1 wound per blight counter. We have Inevitable Truth. Casting cost of 15, resist willpower, range 8. While this model is within 12 inches of target model may only target this model. The spell ends when the model is killed, sacrificed, or cast the spell again. And don't forget, if you are insignificant, or height one, you can target them. So, I mean, you're stuck just staring at Hamlin. We have Irresistible Lure. Casting cost 14. Resist willpower. 12 range as a aura. Height 1, insignificant enemy models move their walk towards this model. A model moving into base contact with this model suffers an unmodifiable damage of 0-3-6 flip. It's a Pied Piper, bitches! Next thing, we got Obedience. So, 1 cast spell. Casting cost of 13. Resist willpower. Range of 12. Sacrifice friendly model within 6 inches. Target non-master model immediately takes a charge or 1 action controlled by this model's controller. Nice. We're going to be controlling manipulation, baby. And we have for 1 last spell. It's 1 spell. Casting cost of 12. Resist willpower. Range of 12. Sacrifice a friendly model within 6 inches. Target model receives insignificant to the end of the encounter. Just simple like that. So basically the way I see it, when you play this group, you're going to have a whole bunch of insignificant models. Why, my rats and stolen, who were insignificant but no longer insignificant, are running around claiming the objectives, jumping around, having a, you know, gay old time. Okay. Let's see, looking over everything, you know, you can obviously see that Hamlin revolves around board control. With a single, you know, he employs spells and crew abilities that turn enemy models into insignificant, so that's pretty damaging. So that makes him immune to a lot of attacks that you can turn things into. Let's see, Hamlin is pretty fast. Is a walk and charge above average, and with fast ability, you know, yeah, he can move. He has an extra opportunity to move every turn. You know, it's pretty cool. Let's see. For his attacks, we got the melee, the black staff, and it's pretty poor in combat. You know, and even deals 2 wounds to him when you flip weak damage. Does give you blade counters, which is pretty good. And you can power up the bleeding disease. Let's see. So that's not bad. As ranged, let's see, looking at it, his flute, you know, does okay damage. Let's see. But, you know, when he hits the severe damage, you get it like an old base spell. So that's good, you know, pretty good. He's a pretty resilient master. Let's see, models cannot target them, so most totems and such insignificant models, you know, cannot target him. You know, so, I mean, if you keep this up, you can pretty much make, you make everything, insignificant, pretty much Hamlin's going to become untouchable late game. I mean, he's going to walk around, you're not going to be able to do anything to him. He's just going to be, you know, playing his little pipes, making you do what he wants to do. Let's see. See, Hamlin's hard to keep dead, of course, because he keeps popping back up. You gotta be able to play him, understanding you're not going to draw any cards except for when your opponent plays cards. So, you know, so that's a little bit of control too, because, you know, are they going to want to play control cards or give you cards and, you know, such like that. Let's see. I don't think you're going to be using a lot of soul stones for this guy. You know, his ability to sacrifice models to draw cards, you know, and he's got fairly low casting abilities. You won't be burning a whole bunch of soul stones. And his damage isn't really what you want to be doing with his attacks. You want to be doing the side effects with the weapons, so, you know, so you won't be flipping for high damage and stuff. That's about it. That's all I got right now until I actually start playing this. Looking forward to it. I've been waiting for this box set to come in quite some time. Finally did, and I made sure it had the sewer bases enough to go through. I've got another pack of Stolen, another pack of Rats. I'm going to be using the Army Painter dip shading system on these guys. Give it a whirl. Hopefully pump them up pretty quick. And I'll let you guys know, hopefully soon, how the crew pretty much performs. And that's going to be it for today's episode. I hope didn't bore you too bad. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas music. The Disturbed Down with the Christmas goes out to my wife, Tanya. She heard it today on the radio, and she enjoyed it quite a bit. So I found it so I could put it on for her. And Merry Christmas, baby. I love you. And to all of you, you know, got any questions or concerns, send them to me at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Remember the contest on the Good Fanatic, Bad Fanatic. Sending me an email. I get two prizes to give away, nice prizes, and I also have the Malifaux prize. So don't forget about all that. Hopefully I hear from you soon, get some feedback, hear from the fans. I like it. Good or bad, I want to hear it. And let's see. Until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. And ho, ho, ho. See you guys next year.
Notes, the pipe uttered. You heard as if an army muttered. And the muttering grew to a grumbling. And the grumbling grew to a mighty rumbling. And out of the houses the rats came tumbling.
Yeah!